Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning. Glad you're here. Harvest Baptist Church, glad you're here with us. Once again, my name is Pastor Hull. I'm filling in for Pastor Cook while he's gone. He's doing well, and I think he will have an announcement in just a moment for you. But he's going to do a video announcement, but you need to be very quiet. I said, because he doesn't talk as loud as I do, but I guess there's background noise in the video he made for you. And so we'll pray, and then we'll watch that. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray today that you'd be glorified in all that's done. Be with the music, be with the preaching, be with the fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for our visitors. Pray you bless them and help them be grateful for being here as well. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you got to be really quiet.
Good morning, Thomas. This morning, your pastor. Thank you for the call. This is all for family and all their reading the stars. I love you very much. Mom, Shelf, Mom, and Dad, settled in. Have been caring for them. Have occupational physical therapy coming in several times a month to check on them and help them with their recovery. We'll be leaving early next week for a couple more days with Mom and Dad before we return home to Arizona. So don't forget, I love you, Spiritual Fellowship.
Amen. Once again, continue to pray for Pastor and his wife. She had those injections in her shoulder, and they haven't helped a bit. Still in a lot of pain. And pray for them as they're dealing with ailing parents and how to make decisions. And then obviously safe travel as they come back as well. So, amen. Let's move on to the service routine. Serve the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Brother David, please lead us, sir.
Heavenly Father, we're just thankful, Lord, for this time of worship where we have an opportunity to give back to you, Lord, with just a fraction of what you've blessed us with. And Lord, I just pray that you would just keep this church strong and a shining light in this community. And Father, I just pray that you would bless the service this morning and help us, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds to the preaching of your word. I ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we pray this morning, we're praying specifically for the services. Obviously, that the Lord would use his word and the preaching of it to convict, to encourage, to do whatever he needs to do in our lives. And I thank God for these men who are praying for the same thing as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now acknowledging this is your house, this is your people, it's your word. Lord, I pray you give me a clarity of thought, a clarity of speech, a boldness from on high to proclaim your word with the best of my ability. But Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. And I thank you for these men. I thank you for the people that are attending today. I thank you for the visitors. Lord, I pray you would speak to all of us a genuine message from you in whatever capacity it may be. Lord, if it's meant to be a convicting message, I pray we would obey and submit to you. It's an encouraging message. Lord, I pray we would just keep on keeping on. And Lord, if there be one here that's not saved, Lord, I pray you'll draw them to you today, that today would be the day of salvation. We thank you for our pastor. Pray you'll watch over him, bring him safely back to us. But Lord, at this time, we ask you to work in a mighty way from children's church to the nursery to every behind the scenes, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that's done. And we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to read my text before the special, and then we will get into the message. But I'm excited to see what God's going to do today because it piggybacks off Sunday school, and especially what Mel had shared, Hebrews chapter 12, if you're following along, verse 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
When the things you gave your life to fill. not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, or pain. But the Master promised sunshine after rain. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. To invest your seed of trust in God, in mountains you can't move. You have risked your life on things you cannot prove. But to give the things you cannot keep, that you cannot lose, is the way to find the joy God has for you. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. Just inside.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, if you're not already there. My desire today is obviously to preach the Word of God. But I want to be an encouragement to you. That is my desire. And obviously, pastor's out of town, and I'm just filling in, but I want to be a blessing to him and a blessing to the church. And as I said when we first started, as far as praying for this message, I pray it's an encouragement. But it may be convicting to some, and I pray that you'd receive it according as it is the Word of God and not get upset or offended by it. Take it as the Word of God and go, as I'm looking in this mirror of the law of the Lord, I need to fix what's maybe wrong with my life. But it may not be today. It may just be, hey, I want to encourage you to keep on doing what you need to be doing. You know, nowhere in the Bible we promise that the Christian life is going to be easy. In fact, just the opposite is true. And is the thing power? There you go. Today I want to talk about how to run your race. And I want to say up, and I'll maybe repeat myself, we all have a different race to run. Now obviously our objective is obviously to run for the Lord. But today I want to encourage you, because we're not told this race is going to be easy. Now there may be times that it seems like smooth sailing. Well, just wait a little bit longer. Some hurdles are going to come up and you're going to have to go over those obstacles. But it's not going to be easy. In fact, the opposite is true. In John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Whole another sermon, but ye shall have tribulation. It's going to happen. Don't think it's a strange thing when something happens to you. God, well, I'm trying to live for you. Why is this happening? You're going to have it. If they went after Jesus and persecuted him, they're going to come after you if you even try to live for him. Yes, difficulties will come and trials will cross your path often, and we'll be tempted to quit on God and maybe even drop the race, even for just a period.
But that seems to be the idea of the whole book of Hebrews. These Christians were enduring a terrible time of trial and persecution. And in light of that, the writer's attempting to encourage these weary, hurting believers to be faithful to the Lord and to continue to run in their race. In a day where it seems people are dropping out left and right, it seems like people are falling away. These are hard times, and it's easy to be discouraged about your own race. But when trials come, there will be a temptation to drop out even for a while and let others do the running. But today I want to help you stay in the race. I want to help you to run your race. Even if you get discouraged, I want you to continue to run. I do not know specifically what you may be facing this morning. I don't know what obstacles are in your race, what hurdles are out there. I do not know. But I do know that these verses will reveal things that will help all of us to be good runners, all of us to please the Lord. My desire in sharing this message is that at the end of our race, we might be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, when I think about our lives, especially as Christians, you know, there's a lot of things I cannot do. You know, my name never be in lights. I may never be famous. I never be all that. A lot of things I can't do. But I can be faithful. You know, I think when it comes to a marriage, that's a pretty high standard. There's a lot of things I will fail as a husband. And a lot of things I won't be. I'm not the carpenter. I'm not Mr. Fix-It. I'm not, hey, can you take care of this? I'll find a way to get it fixed. Not necessarily, I'm the one to fix it. But I can be faithful. And I tell you, most women think that's better than being a handyman. Faithfulness. So when you think about the Word of God, and you think about Jesus, think about running your race, there's a lot of things that I'm not the fastest. I can't jump the highest. I'm not going to set any world records. But I can be faithful to the end. As we look at this passage, the first thing I want you to see, I want you to consider the saints in this verse. As the author begins this chapter, he draws our attention back to chapter 11. It says, wherefore? You know, I'm in Bible college. When you see wherefore, ask, what is it therefore and wherefore? What is it therefore? You look at this, wherefore? Well, he's kind of finishing a thought. I know the chapter divisions aren't necessarily inspired, but when you think of chapter 11, he mentions many great heroes of faith. These people are the great cloud of witnesses that surround us as we run our race that we have begun. Three truths about these witnesses can give us the encouragement as we run our race. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, we need to realize, first of all, they have run their race. And you go back, and I it's a whole other sermon when you think about this. The chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith. By faith, Noah, By faith, all these individuals did great things. You think about, well, Noah, he built an ark. You think about other people, and you can name one. And it goes on, talk about some people being sawn asunder and tore apart, and they receive not the promise. Verse 39 of chapter 11, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They're waiting on the promised land, the promised Messiah, whatever it may be in their time. And obviously we have the Word of God giving us all kinds of promise. But they didn't receive it, yet they kept running. They believed God that there would be the promised land. There would be the promised Messiah. They believed all, and they ran and finished their, and they're recorded down for their faith. They did not run perfectly, but they ran. They did not quit until their race was won. They endured unspeakable pain and suffering. Still, they ran. In doing so, they stand as an encouragement and a challenge to the rest of us. I think about many things I may deal with in my life, at work, at school, college, whatever you're going through, and you think about, man, this is so hard. Just go back and read some of the stuff they did. By faith. If they could live for the Lord and serve Him, then you can as well. Also, they received their reward. These people ran their race, and now they are able to rest in the Father's presence. Because they ran well, they have received their reward. They didn't receive the promise down here, but they did once they got to heaven, when their faith became sight. Imagine. I think about even myself preaching about Jesus and all the promises, and I can't wait to meet him face to face, and that all the stuff I proclaim through faith in the scriptures and believing them, that one day they're going to be sight. That's exciting. They have revealed that God is reliable. It's amazing. The greatest encouragement that we can derive from these saints is the fact that they are proof positive of the reliability of the Lord. If God took care of them, honored their faith, sustained them, kept them, used them, blessed them, and got glory from their lives, then he can do the same thing for yours and mine. We may think it's so insignificant. God didn't ask me to build an ark. God didn't ask me to get out and show the country, which I know not. God didn't, Jacob and Joseph and all these individuals. I have not done any. God's not asked me to do any of that. But God's asked me to do stuff he didn't ask them to do. He asked me to do stuff he hasn't asked you to do. And when I think about the difference I can make in somebody's life that I may not even know, I've said this probably every time I preach here, is somebody's watching you. I appreciate these young men being here today. Made a choice to come here. I don't know how they found us. I don't know what brought them. I'm glad they're here. But they made a decision. Now, their other teammates or their other neighbors or their other whatever, they made a decision. And they're going, where are you guys going? What are you guys doing? It speaks volumes. Now, granted, they may persecute them, they may pick on them, they make fun of them, or they may, hey, can I go next week? Or where did you go? Can I go with you? Something. We all need to have to be these great individuals we have recorded down, because there's so many more in the scriptures that are unnamed. They're not even named what they did. I mean, who they were, but it says what they did. And it made a difference. When the Bible calls them witnesses, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're watching every move we make. It does mean they are witnesses to the faithfulness of God, which you and I can say in our lives, that God has been good. Consider the saints, but number two, consider self. So we have the great cloud of witness. Then it tells us in verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When you think about your race and you're thinking about yourself, we must make proper preparations. When you think about running this race that has to be run, a wise must make preparations. The same is true in the spiritual realm. We will never reach our full potential for the Lord until we're willing to make preparations and sacrifices that are necessary for running the race. We need to lay aside all weights. Look at that. Let us lay aside every weight. This refers to a runner making sure that all extra weight has been removed from his body. A 300-pound man isn't ready to run a marathon. I think about, I'm not lifting him up as an individual. I think about Michael Phelps when it came to the Olympics. Not just training for 4 years for one race. He trained 4 years and swam multiple races in multiple Olympics. And so it wasn't just training for 4 years or 8 years or 12 years. And he goes down, I think, the most decorated, at least Olympic swimmer, maybe Olympian ever as far as medals. I watched a documentary years ago about his diet. And he'd swim 5 miles a day just in practice, just to stay in shape. I don't even want to walk 5 miles. Swim 5 miles? And then, once again, if they're trying to lay aside every weight, you know, they shave every hair. I'm thinking, how is that hair going to slow me? But when you're winning a race by hundreds of a second, you got .00, and then that's the determination. And if shaving the hairs on your skin will give you an advantage, if they're willing to do that in a worldly, secular thing, how much more should we running for the Lord? Now, I'm not saying you drop in weight. I'll lose 10 pounds and I'll serve the Lord. I may be able to. I may be healthier. I may be able to do whatever else. But I'm talking about just all those things that hinder us. It's speaking of things that may be innocent in and of themselves, but they are slowing you down in the Christian ways, in the race. They are weights and they must go. This refers to anything that does not build us up or make us stronger in the Lord. Anything that does not build us up in the Lord is a weight and a hindrance and should be removed from our life. I showed you that Wednesday night about trying to listen to the Lord's voice. But if we're blaring the TV, blaring the radio, got earbuds in and all, His voice. Laying aside all weights, but then laying aside all sins. Next, the author encourages the reader to get rid of besetting sins. This refers to sins which cling to, distract, entangle, and trip up the Christian runner. There are many sins that could be mentioned at this point, but the idea of this verse is that particular sin which trips you up. You think about this, I think I mentioned this the other day about that besetting. The sin that trips me up may not bother you at all. And the one that trips you up may not bother me at all. Maybe somebody's got an anger problem and you're short fused and you want to blow up. And I'm thinking, that don't bother me a bit. I don't scream and yell except when I'm preaching. And it doesn't bother me. That's what I said, the besetting sin that trips you up. You know what hinders you in your Christian walk. Now, I can't go, this is what it is. No, I don't know what it is. I can name a myriad of things out there. And you're like, yep, that's one of them's mine. But you know what's that one that trips you up. That gets you every day. The one you come to the altar and beg God to forgive you and rise up. And I'm going to walk in newness of life and I'm going to conquer this sin. And you go out and the next day you come in, Lord, I tripped up on that same exact sin. If I'm aware of that, I need to do something about that. I mentioned whether memorizing scripture on that particular issue of anger, lust, or whatever it may be, pride. You know where you are weak. Sometimes others know where you are weak. There are sins that do not tempt you at all, and others that are a constant source of temptation. This is what the writer is referring to. Whatever that sin is, it must be stripped off and avoided at all costs. Else it's going to entangle you. It's going to trip you up and prevent you from finishing. Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. We're more than conquerors. We're already, Jesus has already conquered. He's already victorious. And therefore, I need to rely on His power, His Spirit, His Word to continue on. But thirdly, we must run with patience. Here's a picture of a runner settling in for the long haul. However, it's not a picture of sitting back and waiting to see what's going to come our way in life. We looked at that devotion last Tuesday about drifting. I'm not just drifting towards danger, drifting away from God, drifting. No, I want to be paddling. I want to run my race, but run it with patience. It's an active word that speaks of a person who has a spirit in him that stands up and faces the trials of life. He conquers it and overcomes it in the power of the Lord. He's able to face his trials because he knows the Lord has brought it to him for his good or God's glory or both. This merely teaches us that the Christian runner has endurance. He stands strong in the Lord and runs his race. My life verse I use, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I said before, my race is not your race, and your race is not my race. But I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just like Michael Phelps wanted to get better. What can he do? Train harder, eat better, whatever it is to get better, a better advantage. How much more when it comes to the Lord? I do all of that. I want to do all that and know that my labor is not in vain. A teenager gave me this verse when I was a youth pastor. I was discouraged. It just wasn't going things well. And they put a little piece of paper and gave it to me. And talk about an encouragement to me. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Whether nobody is listening, nobody is following, nobody is agreeing. I need to come back. You think about when Noah built that ark? What are you building? A boat? What's a boat? Well, this is what it is. Why are you building? It's because it's going to rain. What's rain? You know, all the goofy questions they're asking. He's like, Lord, I'm just being mocked and made fun of. But I know what you told me to do. I'm going to keep on doing it. I may be the only one. Hopefully sons were helping, whatever. But everybody else is mocking and laughing. And you're trying to take your stand for Christ. Notice the words, the wording, the race that is set before us. We each have our own race to run. And this challenges us to remember that as I'm running my race, I need to stay in my lane. If you ever paid attention, or I ran track in school, and especially sprinting, you have a lane. You have to stay in that lane. If you step out, all of a sudden now you're hindering somebody else, and you're disqualified. Take that in our Christian walk. Stay in your lane. Run your race, the race that the Lord has set before you. I don't want to step over here and hinder somebody else from running their race. I don't want to get in their business and get over here going, well, no. I need to run my race. I'm convinced that the cause of Christ has been hindered by many who refuse to run in their own lane, and they end up hindering everybody else around them. And I think that, I'm trying to remember now, it just came to mind, when the Lord's telling John how the death he's going to die. Well, what about them? What's going to happen to them? Don't you worry about them. I'm talking about you and your race. I have a race for them. And their race is going to be totally different than your race. But you run the race that I've set before you. Our course has been individually designed. The race that you're running has been prepared just for you. The best thing we can do is run our race to the best of our God-given abilities. I may not be a very good hurdler. When I ran track, I wouldn't coordinate enough to do the leg. I couldn't do it. I could just sprint. But if there was a hurdle in my way, I had to figure out how to overcome it without going in their lane, without hindering somebody else. Lord, you designed my path. You put this hurdle here. There's a reason it's there. I'm not just to run and just stop and go, oh, I can't continue. There's a hurdle. You thought that maybe God placed that there for a reason? Oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking about that. God's got a perfect plan. And I need to do my best to fulfill it. See, we must guard our priorities. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus should be the focal point while we run our race. You see, Peter got out of the boat, got on the water, and walked on the water to go to Jesus. And as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he walked on the water. The Bible says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, you can't see the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. So whether he saw clouds, he saw waves, whatever it was, he was walking on the water to go to Jesus. When he took his focus and eyes off Jesus and saw the wind, so once again, whether he's looking at something or looking at nothing, took his eyes off Jesus. And he began to sink. You can use that analogy in our life. We're on fire for God, want to serve God, going for God, and then there's a hurdle, there's a hiccup, there's something, and we turn here. And we look over here. And then we begin to sink. We begin to quit running our race, because we're not looking to Jesus. We're looking at us or our problems or whatever it means. You see, he ran his race. He ran it well. He finished the course that was laid out for him and now stands as supreme champion in the race of life. Looking unto Jesus. We talk about it in Sunday school. If I'm going to, I think Dave, wherever he went, talking about, if I'm going to run a marathon, am I going to talk to people that wish they ran a marathon or somebody who's actually ran the marathon? And that guy ran, he goes, oh no, you need a plan for this. At this mile, you're going to feel this way. At this mile, it's going to do this. Or it's like, yeah, someday I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk to somebody who's been there, done that. What better person to ask than Jesus? If he stepped down out of glory, humbled himself and became a man to be obedient to his father's race that he set before him, and ran his race. While we run, we must look. We must not look at other runners. Doing so is going to cause distraction and defeat. I think if I'm running track and think I'm in the lead, and then some guy just comes flying right by me. Oh, man. What's the point now? Well, I've already lost. That's not my race in the Christian life. Some people, gifted, talented, just going to be able to do great things for God. And you're thinking, what's the point? Well, Jesus has a race for me. You think about disciples. All different walks of life, all different talents, all different backgrounds, all different everything. And people look at Peter and go, man, he was bold. And what about Thomas? Or what about this one? We all know things about them. God knew what he was doing when he picked them all. He had a plan for each one of their lives and a purpose within the 12. And so I have to realize, maybe I'm not Peter. I'm not John. I'm maybe not the beloved. I'm not. But I'm still his child. And he's still got a plan for me. Our eyes need to be on the one who started us on this race and the one who will get us to the end. Our primary duty while we run is to look to him. Anything less will spell disaster for the Christian runner. Thirdly, we need to consider the Savior. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, this looking to Jesus as the author tells us several things about his race that we're able to help us run the race that we've been assigned. And I hope, as we talk about this Sunday school, when you think about and consider his race. His was a hard race that began in poverty and ended in pain on a cross. His was a race that led him around a track lined with hatred, bitterness, opposition, and the desire to see him dead. His was a race that set the perfect example of how a race should be run. His was a race in which he never faltered. He never lost sight of the goal. He never quit running until the goal had been achieved. When you feel like quitting, just look at Jesus and consider the race that he ran for you and me, and keep on running. Keep on running. Consider his reasons for the joy that was set before him. Obviously, I've preached the crucifixion and resurrection almost every year for about 20 years. And you know, each year you think, what can I say differently this year that I didn't say last year? What could I say to get more attention, more whatever it was? And it came down to, and you can ask my wife, I have a doctor's description of what the crucifixion was like and what he went through. And I tell the church, I said, I can't say it better. I'm just going to read it. And I read probably 3 lines into it, and then tears are coming down my eyes. At the scourging, at the pain, the crucifixion, sliding his back up and down on the timber to try to get a breath. And all of this for the joy that was set before him. Where is the joy in going to the cross? Where is their joy in dying like a common criminal? Where is their joy in being rejected by people you love? For Jesus, that joy was in what would happen when he finished his race. For him, the joy was the day of redemption that would bring about the following. First of all, the salvation of believers. He ran for me. He ran for you. It brought about the day he would be in heaven with the redeemed of all the ages. The day that he would reclaim his glory that he had shared with his Father from eternity past. The day where he would be, there would be a new heaven and a new earth, when all the redeemed would worship the Father. The day when salvation would be ultimately completed, sin forever destroyed, Satan forever banished, and perfect righteousness would rule in every heart. That's why Jesus ran. The joy that was set before him. Like I said, you and I just see one hurdle. Ah, this race is not for me. God, you can't use me. God, I'm not good enough. I'm not whatever. All the excuses we make, and we try to explain it away. You and I aren't going to have a harder road than Jesus. When I was in the military as a drill instructor, I'd tell people, I'm not asking you to do anything that I have not already done and or am willing to do. I've cleaned the latrines. I've made the beds. I've folded my clothes in 6 inches. And I'm teaching you. So don't think, well, you don't know what it's like. I do know what it's like. There's not one of us that look to Jesus, can look to him and go, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He knows exactly what it's like. Maybe you don't have earthly neighbors or parents or friends that are trying to run for Jesus, and you might think that you don't have an example. You've got the perfect example in Jesus Christ. He was able to look past the cross. He was able to despise the shame. He was able to think beyond everything he would be called upon to face in this world, and he was able to see you, able to see me, and he ran his race for us. You ever thought about that? We are what motivated the heart of the Savior to go to the cross and die anyway? It's one thing I told you, I preach this every year about the crucifixion, but realizing it's not just that little baby that was born in a manger. That baby, all sweet and innocent, had to grow up and died a cruel, cruel death on the cross. He was born to die for me. Make it personal. Don't just go, oh, Easter bunny. No. Resurrected. Because of the resurrection, I preach what I preach. Without them, we'd be wasting our time. It would all be vain. There'd be no need for us to meet. But because of what Jesus did, we need to come to the place where we're able to look beyond our situations and the circumstances of life and envision the day when we too will be home with the Savior. Oh, what a day that will be. Ask God to give you your second wind to be able to run your race with patience. Thirdly, consider his reward. Jesus ran well, and he finished, and he sat down with the Father in his throne. You see, Jesus knew where he was headed. That made it easier to run the race. Not comparing, just using the illustration, you know, Michael Phelps or any athlete. You're competing for that gold medal. I guarantee when they play the national anthem and they put that medal on you, that last 4 years, that last 8 years, that last whatever, you're thinking, it was worth it for that gold medal, for your country, for the glory and honor, if you will, for obtaining that. But imagine doing it for Jesus. That gold medal is not really honestly going to mean much in eternity. But when I think about being able to run my race, thinking about the reward, because the same is true for you and me today. When we're able to get a heavenly vision, it makes the race more bearable. It's all a matter of perspective anyway. It's all a matter of perspective. It's like, God, you just want me, and I've used illustration, whether it's the janitor, whether it's the yard keeper, the landscaper, whatever, can I do it all for the glory of God? Maybe I'm not the preacher, I'm not the Sunday school teacher, I'm not the deacon, I'm not that, but that's not the race you gave me. So if I want to be a janitor, I want to be the best janitor for Jesus I can possibly be. I want to be the best whatever it is at my work. Everybody at work should know I'm a Christian, mainly because of my behavior, my mouth, my temperament, my attitude. I should never have to tell them, hey, I'm a Christian. I should be the hardest worker. I should be, and I won't say on time. You should be early. Be the hardest working one there. And they said, there's something different about you. I'm running a race. And I know my reward's not necessarily here at this job, but I'm running it for Jesus. And I want to anybody who watches me, anybody that sees me do it, that they may say, something different about you. You're just a janitor. You're just a Sunday school teacher. You're just a housewife. They don't have a clue when you're doing it for the Lord. Because he keeps perfect records. At work, they may not notice you showed up early. They may not notice you stayed late. They may not notice that you did all. God does. He knows. Consider his resolve. Verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This tells us that Jesus endured much to finish his race. He suffered more than you and I could ever grasp. That is why we're told to compare our sufferings with his when we feel like giving up. He endured until the end that we might be saved. And he sets the standard as our example. Therefore, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, Jesus has already been around that track. That is why he's able to help us when we run. You think about that. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. We know just from the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes all the hateful things they said about him. And somebody makes fun of us one time, calls us a name one time. That's it. I'm not going to stand for Jesus anymore. They made fun of me last time I did that. While he's on the cross, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. Then they want to. Imagine he is the Son of God. He's on that, if thou be the Son of God. You know, he could have just, I can't even imagine what he could have done. He's think the thought and they're all gone. And so when I'm thinking somebody's making fun of me, somebody's teasing me, this is too hard to stand at work, to stand, I need Sundays off, I need to, and whatever it may be, these little bitty things in our race that give us hiccups, that sometimes derail us, consider him. Consider him. Because you know, I try to think about it. Honestly, Jesus at any point, I don't know if he could just say, no, Father, I don't want to. They're not worth it. Think about in the garden, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. If there was a time when he said, man, this is just too much. I don't know if I can do this because he's 100% God, but he's 100% man. He's feeling all of that, the pressure, the weight, the sin of the world. Nevertheless, thy will be done. God, if this is what you want, this is what I'm going to do. As our perfect example. Hebrews 4:14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I tell you, you can take that verse and just realize I can go to him. Jesus, this hurts. Jesus, I'm not able. Jesus, I can't endure like you did. We talk about on Wednesday night about drawing us closer to him. You know, when I'm on my face, on my knees before God, saying, God, I'm weak and I need you. Not that we, you know, tag team and he steps in, but I realize, wait, I'm not alone. I'm not running by myself. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And realize, one more step. One foot right in front of the other. I may have tripped on that hurdle. I may have fell down. I may have skinned my knee. I may have busted my nose, whatever it is. And yes, I may be shaken up for a few moments. Get up. Dust yourself off. Bandage yourself off. See the doctor if you need to, whatever. And then get back in the race. Get back in the race. I ask you today, how is your race progressing? I've used numerous illustrations this morning. Are you the one? Yes, Pastor, I'm running. I feel the presence of God. I feel the power of God. Life is good. Be cautious. Remember, looking unto Jesus, not under us and our own power, realizing that there's probably going to be a hurdle. There's probably going to be a bump in the road. There's probably going to be a mountain to climb. Maybe you're today and you're sitting there saying, you know, I got out of the race a few miles back. Well, I'm still attending church. I still play the game, nod the head, shake the hand. But I haven't been running in a while. My encouragement to you today is every one of us have discouragements. Every one of us have hurdles. Every one of us go through different things in our race. And I tell you what, it's one thing to go get encouragement from somebody else. Hey, I've been there. I tripped, man. I broke my leg. I was out for 6 months to a year. Then I had to rehab and I had to train. I'm finally able to run again. What kept you going? There's a prize. There's a prize. And I'm not talking about a crown that I can turn on a lady's feet. I'm not talking about a wreath or a gold medal. There's Jesus. Well done. Just keep running. You're almost here. I know there's many that's already finished their race. And there's many still behind you. But keep running as an encouragement to them. When they see you hobbling, but you're still running. It was Olympic. I played a video one time. I don't remember his name now because it just came to my head again. The runner was running and pulled his hamstring and fell down. I mean, already lost. It was like the 200 meter. It was over before that even happened. But he got up and he kept hobbling. You can watch the video on YouTube, whatever. His father came out of the stands, put his arm around him, and they were pushing the refs away. You can't be out here. I'm going to finish the race. I've trained this hard. I've come this far. It's the Olympics. I just want to cross the finish line. I know I didn't win, but I had a race to run. And his dad's right there. You see him hobbling on that torn hamstring, and he crosses the line. Nope. I can't say nobody. I have no idea who won the race, but I remember him running the race. That stands out to me beyond who won the 200 meter that year or the 100, whatever it was. He kept running. I tell you what, you may think you're beat up. You may think you're damaged. You may think somebody's watching you. And they see you go through cancer. They see you lose a loved one. They see something happen in your life. And your focus is on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, who endured way more than I'm going through as my example. And he's waiting for me. He's encouraging me. He's wanting me to succeed. I tell you what, when you're a kid and you have a mom and dad that are behind you, you can do it, whatever it is, whether it's sports or piano or whatever, and they just the encouragement. I tell you what, that's what church should be. Come and just get your cup filled back up, get that balm of Gilead, get bandaged up. Other people, you can go. Yes, I can't go. Not in my own power, but just that encouragement that Jesus for me. He's not against me. He's not waiting to knock me down. He's wanting to help me up. Look at him today. Get rid of those weights. Strip off the besetting sins and make up your mind to run with patience. Let me challenge you to put your eyes back on Jesus. Stop looking at other human runners. Stop looking at the circumstances through which you are running. Look to him. And when you get discouraged, keep running. Look to Jesus and keep running. It's not about being first. It's about being faithful. All those individuals in chapter 11, they didn't even receive the promise here on earth. But they received it when they got there. And they kept running. So I can use all these biblical examples of individuals, then I can look to Jesus, who they ran for him and they completed their race, He completed his race, an example to them, and now I have both of them an example for me. And I know I've said this over and over and over because I know it's true in my own life. People are watching you. Christians and unsaved people are watching you. And sometimes that's we think that's too much. They put too much pressure on me. I'm going to fail. I'm going to let them down. Not if you keep running. They see you go through what you go through, and yet you keep running. Because I'm looking at other men of God, ladies of God. Man, they've done this for 50 years. They've been so faithful. They've loved the Lord. Lord, help me to stay faithful like that. Help me to preach the word with boldness, unashamed, but for you, not for me, for you. I tell you what, that took so much pressure off me as a pastor, thinking I'm trying to please people and impress somebody. He's the only one I should care about. You know, obviously, I want to encourage you as a stand-in-the-gap preacher while your preacher's gone. I want to encourage you, but I want to challenge you. I want you to go, I need to work on some things. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for that rebuke if I needed that. But take it as it is from the Word of God. Not from me, from the Bible. And I want to know how to run my race. I've been given some examples today. I've been given some, not only human, I mean, examples from people that have done it, but examples of how to do it. Lord, help me today when I walk out those doors, wherever I was, whether I was in the race, discouraged, sidelined, take myself out of it, you take what's appropriate for you in your life and run. And today, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I know I didn't go too in-depth about that, but you can't run your race without Jesus. You need him. You can run your race, but I want to run the race that's set before me that Jesus wants me to run. Most of us have chased our race, doing our thing, doing what we wanted to do. And usually we come back and realize all that was vain, all that was worldly, all that was flesh. Lord, I want to run for you. I encourage you today, whatever I've spoken to you, please respond accordingly to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the scripture, for the example, for the truth. Lord, thank you for you as our supreme example on running the race. Lord, you did exactly what you're asking us to do. And we thank you that you endured to the end, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father now, and you're just waiting on us. Help us, Lord. If we're out of the race, to get back in the race. If we're beat up and stumbling, help us to stay in our lane and keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, we want to run our race for your glory, not for ours. Lord, I don't know all the hearts here today. I don't know all the situations, but you do. And I pray you'll speak to each one of us according to your will. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's going to stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. This altar's open. If you want to come and just kneel and pray, please feel free to do so. If you want somebody to pray with you, let me know. I'd be happy to pray with you. But I just want you to do business with God as he's spoken to your heart. Have your attention for just a moment. Just want to reiterate the announcements. Choir practice at 4:30. The evening service tonight, 6 p.m. Don't forget about the men's coffee fellowship Tuesday, 8:30 over in the Fellowship Hall. Veterans Day is next month. We're going to celebrate it on the 9th. Please see Brother Sam if you want a picture or something to be put in with that presentation. Please see him today because he's leaving tomorrow, so you can get a hold of him today. The Christmas Cantata Drama Readers Meeting, November 2nd in the Junior Church Room. You know who you are for that. Women of Prayer, the 24th. Pie and Praise, the 25th. Singspiration on the 30th. Lots of things going on at this church. Please be aware of them. Get the bulletin, get the announcements, whatever it is, so you know times and places. And do make sure you attend the ones that are involve you. And obviously the services, we always encourage everybody to be a part of that. Visitors, we're glad you're here today. Hope you felt loved and welcomed. If you've got any questions, please see us. Remember, your pastor loves you. And if you need anything, see him when he gets back. Something like that. Amen. Brother Draper, you close in prayer, please, sir. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.